Hi, everyone. I'm Colette Jane Fair, author of The Cost of Quiet, How to Have the Hard Conversations That Create Secure, Lasting Love. My book is rooted in almost 15 years of clinical work as a psychotherapist and also my own lived experience. It's what I've seen again and again in relationships that thrive versus the ones that quietly fall apart. I wrote this book because so many people believe they're keeping the peace when they avoid conflict, but they're actually abandoning themselves. Quiet is not neutral. Quiet is a choice, and it sabotages your sense of self, your well-being, and your relationships. Over time, it becomes a pattern that's hard to change without awareness and intentionality. Big idea number one. Quiet or conflict avoidance is not peace. I spent years believing that staying quiet was the kindest thing I could do for my relationship. I thought I was protecting us in my first marriage from unnecessary fights or hurt feelings. But quiet is never neutral, and every time I swallowed something, resentment accumulated. It showed up later as irritation, distance, disconnection, and anger. I didn't understand that by keeping the peace, I was actually abandoning myself. I was teaching my partner not to know me. I was slowly disconnecting us without realizing it. And this is the trap that so many people fall into. We think we're being low maintenance and agreeable, and we think that makes us easier to love. But the cost is enormous. The research shows that small, unresolved resentments pile up far faster than big issues, and they chip away at emotional intimacy one micro moment at a time. The truth is, silence is not calm. It is a strategy, and it's usually a fear-based strategy. We're scared of conflict. We're afraid of being dismissed. We have fear of being misunderstood. Speaking up early and often is not conflict. It's actually connection. It's a daily practice of revealing your inner world so your partner can actually respond to it. That's what creates secure love. Not quiet, not pretending, and definitely not avoiding. So peace isn't the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of honesty. Big idea number two, your nervous system drives communication. In my work, I tell couples that conflict is almost never about the content. Content is the decoy. What's really happening is that your nervous system is responding to threat. When we feel disconnected or criticized or ignored, our bodies react instantly. Your heart rate goes up. Your breathing changes. You lose access to the function of your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that helps you communicate thoughtfully. So what looks like overreacting, for example, is usually attachment panic. What looks like shutting down is usually the body going into conservation mode. Protect, freeze, don't say or do anything to make it worse. This is why people fight about dishes, their tone of voice, the socks on the floor, someone being 10 minutes late. The actual argument is never about the socks. The argument is really, do I matter to you? Are you there for me? Am I safe here? When couples understand this, they soften toward each other. They stop assuming bad intentions and they start seeing the human being underneath all that reactivity. That someone is scared, dysregulated, and longing for connection. Before any communication tool can work, regulation has to come first. Breath work, grounding, slowing down. Otherwise, the conversation is happening between two nervous systems in survival mode. And survival mode is never where healthy communication lives. Big idea number three. Your empowered voice is a practice. Assertive communication is not a personality type. It's a habit. It's something you build through daily micro moments of speaking up before resentment floods the system. I teach that an empowered voice is like a muscle. It strengthens when you use it, and it atrophies when you don't. Most people wait until they're furious or devastated before they say anything. But the empowered voice is quiet, clear, and timely. It's saying, I didn't know how that landed, or I'm feeling a little disconnected, or I need a minute to regroup. This is the very opposite of avoidance. It's connection in action. It keeps the emotional air clean. It helps your partner repair quickly because they're getting real-time information instead of a backlog of 1,000 issues. You don't have to feel courageous to speak up. In fact, most people don't. It's scary, but you just have to be willing. I always tell people you can feel fear, just don't let it drive the bus. Your life changes when you stop abandoning yourself in small moments. That's where your confidence and empowerment is born. Big idea number four, the pursuer-withdrawer cycle. Every couple has a dance. One person moves toward, the other steps back. One person pushes for connection, and the other tries to calm the system by creating space. Both people believe they're reacting logically, and both people usually think the other person is the problem. But really, they're reacting to their own internal fear. The pursuer's fear is usually, I'm losing you. And the withdrawer's fear is usually, I'm failing you. When couples map their cycle, what they feel in their body, what they say, what meaning they make in their mind, it can change everything. Your partner stops being the enemy, and the pattern between you becomes the actual problem. Once people see the pattern clearly, then they can interrupt it. They can soften, slow down, and speak from the underlying fear and the vulnerability instead of the protest, the reactivity, or the shutdown. The goal is not to eliminate conflict. The goal is to fight in ways that bring you back to each other instead of pushing you further apart. Big idea number five, small, honest conversations prevent big breakdowns. Relationships erode through 1,000 tiny moments, not one catastrophic event. It's the little things, the dismissed comment, the brushed off feeling, the unresolved irritation. Most people avoid the small conversations because they feel inconvenient or uncomfortable. The irony is that the small conversations are the ones that save relationships. The big conversations are the ones we resort to when we've waited far too long. This is why I teach a method called self-connected communication in the book, and it's based on the ABCs of communication, which are the fundamentals. Acting in the face of fear, being vulnerable, and communicating assertively. This is about taking the time to connect to yourself inside, to get clear on what you feel and need, and saying the truth early when you're still regulated enough to be clear and, most importantly, kind. When repair is easier, when your nervous system is actually accessible. Small honesty creates emotional safety, and emotional safety creates longevity. It creates relationships that last. Big idea number six, quiet quitting relationships. Quiet quitting in relationships is almost invisible when it starts. It's the shift from, I want to tell you this, to, it's not worth the hassle. It's the moment you start editing yourself. And it's the slow retreat away from vulnerability. But quiet quitting isn't coming from laziness or indifference. It's self-protection. It's your nervous system saying connection feels risky, so just don't open that door. People quiet quit because they don't feel safe to bring their full selves forward. They don't feel understood by their partner. They don't believe their needs matter in the relationship. So they slowly withdraw their emotional investment, one unspoken truth at a time. The tragedy is that most couples don't realize they're doing it or that this is what's happening until the distance feels irreversible. But connection is repairable. The antidote is starting small. Those little moments of irritation, being honest, having consistent communication, opening up and sharing your truth. This is the kind of communication that prevents that slow erosion in the first place. When you stop quiet quitting and start speaking up, you rebuild the emotional bridge between you and have the opportunity to create true emotional intimacy.